episode 129.
So I got with my staff and says, here's what's happening to me, guys. I need you to pull hard. I don't know how long this is going to take. I don't know what the results are going to be. I don't know how bad I'm going to feel, if I'm going to feel bad, good, or just don't know. Rather than worrying about stuff here, you know, they're taking care of stuff at the shop. But they say, Jerry, you got to leave. You got to get over to your doctor. And they forced me to do everything that was in my best benefit to do to get this stuff cured up. And it just, it opened my eyes to how devoted they are, how trustworthy they are, how loyal they are.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriato here, and thank you for listening to Remarkable Results Radio, and welcome to episode 129 with Jerry Holcomb from SNS Service in Kansas City, Missouri. Hey, this is another episode that really, really hits at the heart. Jerry has some excellent stories to tell where the message is one of devotion, trust, and loyalty. And please, please don't miss a word. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Search for parts, get the latest technical updates, and sign up for their new Garage Rewards loyalty program at their all-new website, fmmotorparts.com. Hey, we're now on Facebook Live, and you are invited to join the feed on Friday afternoons. Look for messages in Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn announcing the Go Live. I'm looking forward to providing you perspectives on trends and insights on topics of the day. If you miss any one of the short 10-minute broadcasts, you can watch the reruns on my website on the Facebook Live page. Now, a very special interview with Jerry Holcomb. With nearly 50 years' experience in the automotive field, Jerry tells of his pathway to success, the lessons learned, and the typical stumbles or learning curves along the way. He's been through some interesting times, including recently when he was diagnosed with cancer and Parkinson's. Jerry tells of his challenge and support he has received from his loyal staff and how they stepped up to the plate to support him. A truly great and sensitive story, and I thank Jerry so much for sharing. Please see the show notes page on the website to read Jerry's bio and enjoy the episode. Now, why should you listen? I can't name all the reasons to listen, but this is a very, very powerful episode. Jerry tells of the best advice he got. It has to do with saving money and property ownership. Jerry was offered his dad's business but said no. So you'll hear the story of what he did next and how he ultimately came to buy his dad's business 10 years later. He explains his biggest struggle, and that is trying not to be a micromanager. And also learned about the geek in Jerry when in 1983 he bought a Tandy RS3 to run his business. There's nothing but great storytelling here and much to learn about business, relationships, and life. I promise a great ride. Here we go. Nice to be with Jerry Holcomb from SNS Service in Kansas City, Missouri. Hey, Jerry, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
I'm ready, Carm.
Hey, great to have you. So you are the ASA Midwest president?
That's correct, the affiliate president. For six states.
Wow. Big job.
It is a big job, but luckily the president doesn't have to do it all. We've got Sherry Hamilton, of course, who I think you've already interviewed previously.
Yeah.
We've got a board that's second to none. So basically, I just get the first call instead of all the calls.
It's good to be the king, right?
You might say that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, you work so hard to get up to that level, and then you just delegate.
Yeah.
You know, unlike your own business, where you're probably more hands-on, being the president of the ASA Midwest Group, you are you've got so many resources. Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, what's one thing, Jerry, right now that's got you fired up?
And this is crazy. It's not anything to do with the business, but the thing that's got me most fired up right now is looking forward to going to Cancun in November.
Ah.
I'm bad as a manager about taking vacations. My wife has to beat me to get me to take vacations. But a couple of years ago when we did the first Vision South of the Border, I participated in that, and I thought, boy, I'm not going to miss this again. So it's coming up in November.
They're dragging you kicking and screaming, right?
Exactly. Okay. They'll probably have to stuff me in a suitcase to get me to go.
I recall, and I wish I could remember who it was that I interviewed. It was one of our great interviews with a business coach who said that if you don't take a vacation in the first year of opening your business, you'll never take one.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm getting better as a manager at doing things like that. Taking vacations, not being a micromanager. I was terrible as a micromanager for years. Well, to back up a step, when I was going to college, it was to be an English teacher.
Oh.
And so I'm a little bit anal on grammar and spelling and stuff like this. And we're just trying to get some tickets written, and you should have had a comma there. I'd get looks. I'd get lots of feedback on stuff like that.
That's a warning sign for me because, you know, every time I put out an episode, of course, we have a great show notes page. And it talks all about you, your bio, what we talked about, and why the listener should listen. I better send it to you before I publish it.
Sounds good. I'll proofread it for you.
Oh, I know. You know, and that's happened in the past where someone has sent me back my entire show notes, all completely grammarized and changed. And, you know, I've been in the aftermarket my whole life. I did not. I was not an English major.
I still have the red pencil.
Oh. So how did you overcome being a micromanager?
It was work. It was really a lot of work. And I read a lot. I'm an avid reader. I listen to audiobooks. I read books on my Kindle. In fact, two books going at the same time. And any place I would read in management issues is don't be a micromanager. Tell the people what you expect and what results you want and let them do it. And I've got great people, long-term people. So it's not something I've got to train everybody every couple of years or something. I've got one lady that this November she'll have been with me for 20 years.
Long time.
Got my lead technician. He's been with me for 17 years. My shop manager has been with me for 13 or 14 years. Wow. I'm not sure which it is.
So do you remember the day that one of your key people came up to you and said, Jerry, thanks so much for changing.
I don't know if they've said that or not, but it's definitely in the body language and the attitudes around here. We've got great attitudes.
When in your life, Jerry, have you been so passionately focused on any particular activity that you just lost track of time and you didn't even know what you were doing?
It'd have to be one of my hobbies is woodworking.
Got it.
And that's one place where I could go in my basement and everything stops. I mean, it's just that's where you go to relax.
Yeah.
My wife knows she's not even invited down there if I'm down there.
Okay.
So it would probably have to be doing some kind of a woodworking project.
That's a serious hobby.
Yeah.
Stay away at your own life's peril.
It's you've heard of the man caves. I guess this is a woodworking man's cave.
Excellent. Here's great news. There's a new brake pad on the market that can stop a pickup SUV or CUV up to 50 feet sooner than other leading pads. And on top of that, it lasts up to twice as long as previous designs. Sound too good to be true? Well, Wagner Brake did it. They designed their new Wagner OEX brake pads that stopped up to 50 feet sooner than other leading brake pads. To prove it, they got Link Engineering, pretty much the industry standard on brake performance testing, and they got their proof. But Wagner needed more convincing. They asked 400 top technicians to put Wagner OEX pads to the test, where it matters most, in their shops and on their customers' vehicles. 99% said they saw a noticeable difference in the new brakes, and 95% said they'd likely recommend them to other service professionals for their customers. Now, soon you can get Wagner OEX brake pads in your shop. They'll be available nationwide with coverage for 95% of U.S. pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Get the full story. Learn about the science behind Wagner OEX and check coverage. Go to WagnerBrake.com. Hey, so go back in the day. What made you dip your toe into opening up a business?
I'd have to go back, give you a little bit of history first. My dad had a business from the early 50s through 1972. And he was one of the first independent shops that specialized in automatic transmissions. This is back in the day, the old Hydromatics, old Roto Hydros.
Okay, sure.
All Dynaflows. I mean, he got the, that's when they made a bunch of crap, is how what I considered it. And he was good. So I worked for him. He taught me transmissions. He taught me a lot of stuff. But in 1972, he retired, and he had offered me the business. At that point, I was 22 years old.
Wow.
And lucky for me, I knew what I didn't know. And I said, no, I don't think I'm ready to run a business yet. I'm 22 years old. I still want to party a little bit. I still want to do other things. And so he sold it to two guys named Schwent and Solomon, and that's where the S&S comes from. I worked for them for about 3 years and then decided, okay, it's time for me to go get in the dealership business. And I went to work at a couple of dealerships. Believe it or not, I worked at an AMC dealership for 6 years.
Yeah.
Had more fun working at the AMC dealer than I ever have anywhere in my life. And
the day of the Gremlin.
Exactly. Gremlins and Pacers.
Yeah.
Pacers, they were a challenge for sure. I was working for the dealers, and meanwhile, one of the S's had bought out the other S, so there was only one person running it, and he was thinking sometime in the future that he was going to move to Colorado Springs. And I had known for some years that I was going to eventually want to own a shop. The apartment I was living in, I had a compressor in there, I had a big press in there, things that I'd accumulated over time that I knew I'd need in a business.
It makes good furniture.
Yeah, exactly. But Bill Schwent, the owner, finally gave me a call and said, okay, I think I'm ready to sell. And I knew, I had known way before then when I started accumulating equipment and taking care of the other stuff, that that was going to be probably where I was going to end up, back in my dad's old business 10 years later. And I was working at a Chevrolet dealer at the time, and got the call, says, I'm moving. And I didn't have enough money. I ended up having to get a financial guy to kind of help me out.
Typical, yeah.
Yeah, get me started. But from then on, I knew that's where I wanted to be. This was back in the early 80s, back when basically all you had to do was open up a business and you're going to be busy and you're going to make money. At least that's how it seemed to us.
Yeah, you know, great story. You could have had the business from dad, but then you bought it.
Yeah, right.
Buy it. How many times do you say, oh, darn?
Yeah.
But, you know, you're right. You weren't ready. And yeah. I loved your phrase, you knew what you didn't know. That's a great comment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the guys that bought it from my dad that I worked for was a fantastic technician. He was the technical guy of the pair, and the other guy was the customer satisfaction type mm-hmm. of a guy.
Yeah.
And I learned things that I feel like I would have never learned if I had gone ahead and jumped into the business without waiting and having that period of time to learn.
Jerry, what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Can I give you two?
Sure.
Because one of the things that I'll never forget is the guy that had gone in as a financial partner on S&S. He says, Jerry, let me tell you what you need to do. You're making this much money. The rest is coming back to me. But somehow you've got to find a way to save money. And he says, there's this little place down on the plaza, which is shopping district and in Kansas City. It's called 20th Century, and it was a brand new mutual fund company.
Okay.
And he says, put some money in there and just put a little bit in it every month and build something up. And that was not a whole lot of time after they even started IRAs and stuff like that. I started putting in a little bit of money, and to this day, automatically a check goes out to them every month to keep doing it. So basically, he wanted me to save money. I've done it. There's been times when I thought, I don't know if I can do this. But it's worked, and now I've got a little bit of money saved up, where some of the stories you hear, there's people that couldn't come up with $500 if they had to for an emergency. So that was one of the things. The other good advice was buy your building, don't rent it.
Ah.
My brother participated in that particular deal, but there were all kinds of input. Everybody that I talked to that had rented a building, rented a facility, compared to if they had bought one, they were much happier the ones that had bought them. Just another way of building savings, I think.
How smart. How smart. And I think many people are regretful that they weren't good savers through their lives. And it's such a great message for young people today, but they may not have the money to even think about opening something.
Exactly.
I know.
Exactly.
Hey, take us to your biggest aha moment.
Back in probably 1983 or 84, I became interested in personal computers, where they didn't really have PCs back then. They had Tandy Radio Shack. In fact, my first computer was a Tandy Radio Shack Model 3. It was an old dual 5 1/4 floppy computer.
Ooh, pretty good at the time, huh?
I thought it was. And I bought this computer and took it into the shop. Been there a couple of years. Had some people that were a little bit, they were making fun of me, I should say.
Get it.
What are you doing with a computer in a business? And previously I had done all my paperwork through either a checkbook or one of the old E.K. Williams pads that let you do your daily accounting and daily sales sheet, and you just keep those pads and hand them to your accountant at the end of the year or the end of the month.
And just so that everyone understands, no Windows back then. It was strictly DOS, and everything you ever had to do was always on a keyboard, and there wasn't a mouse, right?
Oh, exactly. It was a keyboard, black and white monitor.
I remember.
Like I say, it had dual 5 1/4 floppies. One had the program on it. The other was the data.
Yeah.
So I learned to do basic programming, program this basic language. Studied just my own, learned that. Built a couple of programs. Built a daily books program. So at the end of the night, I just input what our sales were, what our cash was, how much cash we got. Had a little place for all that. Made it so it printed a nice little report. Really happy. My financial guy, he says, I love this. He says, can you do it for my business? Because he had a body shop that he was building in. I said, probably not as well. I said, because it takes a little bit of getting used to, and you got to learn some of the language to go fix things. Of course, I wasn't an expert. I was just trying to do things. Then they came out with a business check writer program. So in addition to my daily books, I was doing my writing my checks. It would make reports as far as which account we charge the check to. Really, in my opinion, aha, yes, with the aha moment, is we got to have computers to do work.
Wow.
And as I look around today, one of my most fun things that I do at work is I'm the semi-IT guy.
Ah.
I keep all our computers going. We've got about 20 by the time we figure the laptops for the scan tools and the desktops and all the other stuff we got going.
So call Jerry, and Jerry says reboot.
Exactly.
Being a top technician takes a lot of hard work, and you can't do it alone. I believe you would agree, vehicle technologies, repair procedures, and diagnostics are changing every year. That's where Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Guru Garage can help. The Garage Gurus program has been designed by and for technicians and offers the most comprehensive program of support tools in the industry. There's a nationwide network of Guru on-site training and technology centers where you can get hands-on training with the equipment and tools needed to solve real work-related challenges. And when you can't make it to on-site training, there's Gurus Online, a 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of course options. Garage Gurus also helps where it matters most, on the job, in your shop. Their Gurus on the Go technology fleet, well, they bring the latest products and technology demos right to you. If you need a quick part lookup, the Gurus On Demand app gives you fast, easy, and accurate info. And when you need help with a technical issue, their bilingual ASE-certified Gurus On Call are ready to help. And this year, they're introducing their Garage Rewards Loyalty Program, which gets you points towards free gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts brands. It costs nothing to join, and you could start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageguru.com, learn all about the Garage Gurus program, and start earning points today.
To go back to the TRS-80,
yeah.
One of the guys that worked for me says, you know, like I say, what are you doing with the computers? And they're never going to use those. He came back to me like 20 years later when we got the whole, and he worked for me for over 20 years. He came back finally and says, you know, I made fun of you years and years ago for getting a computer, trying to run the business with it. He says, I can see now that you were ahead of your time on back then.
Wow.
And I felt like I was.
Way ahead of the curve. Well, congratulations. You had one heck of a vision back then. Mm. Hey, what makes S&S so unique and a different business?
It's the relationships that we build, and we build relationships with our customers, but also I work hard to build relationships with my staff. And when I was talking about the longevity of the tenure that they've got, you can see that they must be happy to be here, a 20-year, 17-year, 13-year people. I just think that's what makes us stand out. When customers come over, we just had a lady come over, get something, you know, quick wait job done. We're dog friendly, and a lot of people know about we're dog friendly. We've got a deal of dog biscuits, and anybody's welcome to bring their dog when they're coming in. And it's just one of those little things. Somebody else will come in and say, you let dogs in here? We say, no, we welcome dogs in here. And, well, I'm bringing mine next time. Well, that's great. Here's a treat. Take it home to him tonight. But we build each of those little relationships with people. Go the extra mile. We had one lady got her car towed in, and she had been a customer, not a long-time customer, but she'd been in a few times before, and she came in on a hook. One of the things we do is try to solve problems. I look at everything by not necessarily the broken car problems, but transportation problems, financial problems, whatever they might be, we've got to find a way to solve those problems for us to stay busy. This lady, her biggest problem when she came, got her car towed in, was she was on her way to her vet to get some special dog food for her dog, and now she wasn't going to be able to get it because all she was going to do was get a ride home. So I hopped in my car, loaded her in my car. We drove to the vet, got the bag of dog food, took it to her house. I carried it into her house, and that's just an example of some of the things we do. Shelley, the lady that works for me, typically we schedule wait appointments for 8 o'clock in the morning when I know I've got a technician available first thing, and 1 o'clock. And so that's when we've got people waiting here. And Shelley, the lady that works for me, she is without a doubt the most people person you'll ever see.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, she stands in the customer waiting room. It's kind of a little separate room, not where the service advisors work from. And she talks to people. And I mean, she's talking about kids. She's talking about grandmothers. She's talking about what'd you do on this vacation. And when the people come and get that kind of attention and that kind of I don't know what the right word is, just a relationship building with us, they remember that. And that's what keeps people coming back to us.
So you've got one heck of a loyal crew, and you're a busy guy with your association support. How does the crew allow you to go out and do all these other things? Have they stepped to the plate?
Yeah, and that's a good story. I'm still probably a closet micromanager because I like things to be done right, but I don't push it like I used to.
Got it.
But in the past couple of years, I've had some physical problems.
Okay.
About 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and it's a progressive disease. It's a debilitating type of disease, but I've still got medication, so I'm doing pretty well.
Okay.
But everything I used to be able to do, I can do about half of it now. My strength is cut in half. Just movement. That's what it affects, is neurological control of movement of hands and feet and stuff like that. But I thought, oh, this is, you know, they say very few people die of Parkinson's disease. They die with Parkinson's disease. And my doctor, she said, you could go 10 years, 15 years with, you know, with right medication and be all right. I thought, okay, well, we're just going to do what we got to do. Everybody here knew that I couldn't do as much as I could physically. And then about a year ago, I just went for a regular physical and found out I got cancer too. And I thought, my Lord. And it was a prostate cancer. And because of the Parkinson's, they couldn't remove it. So I was told I'd have to take 43 radiation therapies. They do them one a day, 5 days a week. You get the weekends off. Next Monday, you're in there again for 43 different times. And they also shoot you full of hormones to help. I don't know all the technical parts of it, but shot me full of hormones. So here I can see, okay, I'm dealing with the Parkinson's. And now I've got to be off 43 days in a row for some period of time. I didn't know exactly what it was going to be. And so I got with my staff and says, here's what's happening to me, guys. I need you to pull hard. I don't know how long this is going to take. I don't know what the results are going to be. I don't know how bad I'm going to feel, if I'm going to feel bad, good, or just don't know. It was kind of a, Jerry, why would you even say anything to us? We're here. We're going to do the job, and we're going to help you get through this. And it was a fantastic display because my service manager, Bryant, his dad had been through the same 43 treatments. He knew a little bit what was going to happen to me, but it just didn't matter. They just took on the extra work, any extra work they needed. My time away, they'd make sure, rather than worrying about stuff here, you know, they're taking care of stuff at the shop. But they'd say, Jerry, you got to leave. You got to get over to your doctor. And they forced me to do everything that was in my best benefit to do to get this stuff cured up. And it opened my eyes to how devoted they are, how trustworthy they are, how loyal they are. And because they pushed me every step of the way, but they supported me too. When I came in, and one of the side effects was fatigue. And I would come in, sit down at my desk. I might lay my head down and fall asleep. And it was kind of a, well, let's don't bother Jerry until he wakes up type of a deal. They knew what needed to be done, and they just did it. It was kind of a proud moment in my life.
Yeah, I was just about ready to say, you've got to be the proudest, not only friend of these employees, but so honored to have them in your service.
You betcha. Wow. Excuse me.
Wow.
Yeah, that's...
What a great story. I mean, it's not a great story about your health problems, but a great story in human support. Wow.
Yep.
Good for you.
And the good news is I'm clean of the cancer right now, so...
Oh, great.
Ready to proceed.
And the Parkinson's is dealing with it every day?
I'm dealing with it. It's kind of a weird disease. If I use my right hand for anything, which I'm right-handed, if I use it to run a mouse, to write something, my left hand gets a message from my brain to start doing the tremors and just start shaking back and forth. And so I'm sitting here at my computer and my left hand is liable to just be shaking over there while I'm not even worrying about it. I'm using my right hand to run the mouse or run keyboard. Of course, if I'm keyboarding, the left hand, it's got a deal where it'll double strike. So I hit the letter I or whatever letter I'm going to hit, and there's liable to be two F's, two I's, whatever there are, and I have no control over it.
Thank God for spell check.
Exactly. Exactly. But I don't feel bad. And like I say, the doctor says this could go years and years and years before it progresses to a
to a point where you can't,
exactly, yeah. I can't function.
Wow.
Yep.
So many things on my mind, but wow, next time we talk. So you're a computer guy. By the way, thanks for sharing that. That was just very personal and very emotional. Thank you. You're a computer guy, right? 83, TRS-80.
Yeah, it. Model 3, though.
Oh, Yes. So what's the shop of the future going to look like, Jerry?
It's going to have a lot of scan tool type equipment. Who knows if they'll call it scan tool, how much the telematics are going to be combined with all that. I think that's the biggest thing I worry about right now, because the manufacturers with the telematics are able to draw people straight back to them. And I can't just say, well, here, let me reprogram your OnStar so it'll talk to SNS service rather than the local dealer down there. That's one of my big concerns.
You're right. It is, yes, about who owns the data, but it's also about the connection to the customer, the CRM part. Yeah.
Yep.
Looking back, what are you the most proud of?
It's hard to say one thing. I've been really successful, and I don't mean necessarily by money.
Mm-hmm.
To me, success was doing something I enjoyed doing and actually getting paid for it. And so the whole period of time that I've been in business, I've been really successful. I've enjoyed doing things. I've had good people through the years. I've won awards, which feeds my ego a little bit. I don't know if I can pin it down to one.
That's okay. So give us some great words to live by.
I think it was a quote by, I think it was Mark Twain. It's one that I've listened to quite a few times, and every time I hear it, I think this is true, and this is me. It's better to have somebody think you're an idiot, or keep your mouth closed and have somebody think you're an idiot, than it is to open your mouth and let them and remove all doubt. Whenever I hear somebody that's got a ratchet jaw, just talk, I always think that, and I think, well, I'll say something if I need to say something, and that's all it's going to be.
And you decide, yes.
That's right.
And
that's
you decide. Right. Excellent stories. Great interview. Jerry Holcomb, SNS Service in Kansas City, Missouri. Jerry, thanks so much.
Thank you, Carm. It's been great.
Hey, guys and gals, thanks so much for listening. Now, find additional show notes on Jerry Holcomb from SNS Service in Kansas City, Missouri, his bio, and links to his company. It's all on the show notes episodes page on Remarkable Results Radio. That's also the place where you can subscribe to be an insider and get the pulse on every new episode release and find top industry links and resources. I hope you enjoy the honesty and sincerity in Jerry as he talked about his personal challenges and successes. Where else could you hear these unfiltered stories or life's lessons and learn about how you can improve your business or your life directly from an aftermarket colleague? I do appreciate your engagement with the podcast and would ask that you help spread the word. Your help is needed. I'm grateful for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.